I always enjoy hearing him sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today. Those who are online today, thank you for coming to our service or listening into our service. I hope you've enjoyed all the music today. I enjoyed that choir number too. About the time they announced that the choir was to meet that way, I was going that direction. Brother Ron stopped me and he said, "You did the right thing." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "When they called the choir to come forward, you went that way." You don't need to criticize yourself. Others will be more than happy to do it for you, I've learned down through the years. Good to have you today. Thank the Lord for you and those online today. It's a very important day in the life of this church. We believe God is working. Thank the Lord for it. Ron, you don't need to leave because I criticize you. But... Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Gospel of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 17. Here we have a mountaintop experience, if I could word it that way. It is the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ here. But even before you get to that chapter, I have to go to chapter 16 because when I come to the transfiguration of our Lord, I see such grace. Why do I say grace? Because when you go to the 16th chapter, you find here the vicious words of Peter. And yet Peter will be one of the three that will meet with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Isn't that grace? Isn't God good to allow him to do that in spite of what he says there in the 16th chapter? But when I think about that, I think about God's grace that we're all here this morning by the grace of God. When I go to that 16th chapter, I want you to notice the godless act of Peter in chapter 16 in verse 22. Actually, verse 21 picks up the contents and context. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then notice here, I would call them the godless act of Peter. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. When you note the word him, H-I-M, I have written in my Bible right next to it, God. Because he wasn't just rebuking Jesus, he was rebuking God. Think with me today, the very act that you think you could rebuke God, that is about as godless as you can be. And Peter was godless at that time. He saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, thou shalt not be into thee." And when he said, "Be it far from thee, Lord," I don't think he really meant Lord in his heart and life when he made that comment. It was not only a godless act, it was certainly a grievous word spoken. Look in verse 23. "But he turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me," not Peter, but "get behind me, Satan." Let me say this to you here. "Thou art offensing to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things of men." Here, Peter's first, here we look here, the grievous words here of him. The voice was Peter, but the words were Satan. Now, keep that in mind. A lot of times when we say wrong things, they may be our voice, but they're not our words. They're the words of Satan himself. I think we have to learn to realize how vicious the tongue can be if we're not careful. I not only see that godless act and grievous word, but then I come to the 17th chapter, I see the grace of God here in chapter 17. And look with me, if you will, please, in verse 1 now, as we have just look what took place there. And we come to verse 1 of chapter 17. "And after 6 days, Jesus took," notice he's the first name mentioned, "Peter, James, and John." I thought of myself, it would anger me and I would have to exclude Peter. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? He just doesn't exclude him and he doesn't exclude you and I when we say wrong things, whether the words be of the flesh or whatever they may be from, but God is not He just loves us so much. He showed his grace. And I see here, I was thinking of Peter, those words here, the grace of God. I was thinking the Apostle Paul when I was thinking of what Peter had to say, because when I go over there and I look at Paul, and he said, by the grace of God, what? I am what I am. Aren't you glad for that grace? That deals with his heart, by the grace of God. And then when the second time in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he said these words, and to me who am the less than the least of saints. That's from his humility. The first words were from his heart. The second words was from his humility. And the third word was from his honesty. For he said over there in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, I'm what? The chief of sinners. Wow. I see his heart. I see his honesty. I see his humility. And I would pray today that would be the heart and humility and humbleness of us all and honesty of us all today. Now, Peter didn't see that. God's still working on Peter. God's still working on me. Is he still working on you today? I don't think anybody here has arrived at all. So here are the, follow now, look at the vision up on the mountain in chapter 17. Look there, here in chapter 17 and verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Underline that. Because on this here, I see the brightness of his being. Now keep in mind here, there is a difference between what you see in this chapter and what you see in Exodus 32. Now I'd say, what do you mean? Would you turn to Exodus 32 and mark this so you can get back to it real quickly? When I go to Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 34, I apologize. When you go to Exodus 24, it's a story where let's read it. Look at verse 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimonies in hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone when he talked to him. In other words, it was hard to look upon him because his face showed the brightness. It was certainly a reflection, but it was not our Lord. What Peter had there was from without. But when the word transfigure in back chapter 2 of chapter 17, it's not what was on the outside, it what was came from the inside. And that's more important. What is going on the inside will show what is coming forth on the outside. I have to think about that in my own life. What is inside? The word transfigured here is the word for metamorphosis. As you know, a butterfly then turns into that butterfly through what we know as a metamorphosis. And I will say to us all today, we need a metamorphosis. Shining without what was on the inside. All that Moses was shining was just on the outside, but didn't come from within. It just was the brightness of because God allowed that to happen. But here you see a difference. Not a reflection from without, but in this case, the glory of the reflection from within. We all need a metamorphosis. I pray daily. We call it renewal. Shining without from that which is in. And I not only see here the brightness of his being, but I thought about the beholding of his beauty that day. You know, what a sight that must have been. Now, by the way, when you come to verse 2, it is the only time in Scripture that you see the deity of Jesus Christ shining without. Before, when you looked at him, it was just a human being. Just a human being. But here you see his deity, which was inside now, shining out. And it was the only time that his deity shone without. Matter of fact, I'm reminded over there in Isaiah 53, verse 2, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. No beauty. In other words, our Lord was just a human being. Not that he was ugly. But you didn't look at the beauty of our Lord. You didn't see the beauty. One day I'm going to behold the beauty of Jesus Christ. I'm going to how wonderful he will look to us. And so we see here the beauty, a metamorphosis that took place. You know, I want to say this to all of us today. Just think, I look here today. Ron, you're going to be beautiful one day. You're not very handsome today, but you're going to be beautiful one day. And that beauty is because what is going to be on the inside will shine out. Every one of us will look different. For when we see him, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we will have that metamorphosis totally, fully manifest that day. Now notice something else here. This vision of the mountain, the brightness of his being, the beauty that didn't see all the time as he was 3.5 years on this planet as the Son of God here. Of course, he was 33, but I mean those 3 years when he was called to be the minister. You would still behold his beauty and so forth. Never saw any of that. Now, becoming without what was in. I thought of that. Look over there. Leave this passage for just a moment and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Now, I have highly marked 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, that's just the last verse there. It's the verse I want to look at rather quickly. Because what we need in our own lives, as I just mentioned, is to see him and all he is. Look there, I want to read verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. Now the Bible, the word glass refers to the Bible. This, by the way, this is a looking glass. This is a looking glass. We look into it and we begin to see things about ourselves and our own reflection. But notice what he says here, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. Now the word change here is in the tense of the verb, which has the idea of progression. Progressively, I'm changing. Progressively, you're changing. You're changing more and more, I hope, in the image of Jesus Christ. If you're not, you're going the other way. By the way, you don't stand still in the Christian life, folks. I want you to get that. You just don't stand still. You either go forward or you go backwards. I believe God wants us to go forward in our Christian life. So we see here change into the same image, dealing with progressively. Then he says something else here. In a glass, changes the same image from what? From glory to glory. Now, what's it mean? Proportionally. Not only progressively, but proportionally we're changing. Now, listen. The closer I get to Jesus Christ, the more I look like him. The further I get away from him, the more I look like me. And that's not a good image. I want to know, are we getting closer to him? Closer to him? Closer to him? I wrote down a poem, sir. I didn't write it. I don't know. My wife has a book on poetry. She's not asked me to write one of those poems. She just laughs when I try to do poetry. But I was thinking of the poem I memorized. Some of me, some of thee. That's normally the way life is. Then he says, less of me and more of thee. And finally he said, none of me, but all of thee. When that happens, that's not only progressive, but proportionally and getting closer and closer where it's less of me and then none of me. But notice here, we're not only changed progressively and changed proportionally, but we're changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look here. Even verse 18, even as by what? Spirit of the Lord. I can't do that. I can't change. God changes you, Holy Spirit. You know, I deal many of my time in my ministry with people who have all kinds of addictions, amazing addictions. And they would try to do it in their own strength. Let me say this to us all. The Christian life is not hard, not difficult. It's impossible. That's the work of the Holy Spirit as he lives through us. And so we can be transformed into his image progressively, little by little, proportionally. The closer I get to him, the more I look like him, and the further away from him, the less I look like. I say, well, how do you get close to him? This is one way, folks, right here. I hope this book is really part of your life. I hope it means so much to you. Now, when I say this, don't get, one day, I hope by God's grace, before long, you'll get rid of me. I have a pastor here. So just put, it's okay to have, I think Texas have the Bible on your phone or iPad or whatever, but have one where you can mark it. Have one where it becomes part of your life. Somebody say amen or oh my. We need this book in our lives. And I hope you have a book that's well marked, well read. It's part of your life and your prayer life and so thing. On and on it goes. Think with me. So we see here, as we look at this text here, think with me, not only does we go back to our text there, so we see he wants us to be transformed proportionally, progressively, and powerfully through the Holy Spirit. I have to ask you, are you any better of a Christian today than you were a year ago? Are you the same? I hope you're not the same. I hope I'm not the same. That'd be a tragedy. Be a tragedy. But notice here, as we look at this text, not only do we see the vision and the vicious attack of Peter as he made a terrible blunder, but think with me the visitors that saw the transfiguration. There are three groups. Notice first of all in verse 3. Now, the first group we know well is verse 1, Peter, James, and John. These are the disciples. Now, I don't know why somebody said, you know, Jesus had a clique. I don't think Jesus had a clique. But I know these three fellows he needed to work on more than maybe the other. I don't know. But he chose three men there who wrote some scripture for us. He needed to have them grow. He needed to get them closer to him. He needed to make them change. So we see those three. We hear there, not only do we see here that those three, but now notice something else. Go down to verse 3. We not only see the visitors from the present, Peter, James, and John, but we see visitors from the past. Who are they? Moses and Elijah. Wow. Two Old Testament script people, one representing the law, the other the prophets. You know, folks, I may say this to us dogmatically. We're not supposed to live in the past, but it's not wrong to let the past live in us. I'm afraid America today has fallen rapidly because we fail to appreciate our leaders of the past and the way our country was at one time. And that's always a great disaster for any country. I'm afraid we're looking to where we're not the United States of America, but we're the United States of amnesia. We have forgotten the good things God has done for us. And so, Lord, help us today to get back to that in our country. But it must begin with us. And I look at Moses, I look at Elijah, two characters from the past. So we have visitors from the present, James, John, and Peter, James, and John. And you have visitors from the past. And then you have visitor from the eternity, the Father. Wow. You have the visitor from eternity. We come here as we look at this. Listen again. Then look at verse 4. Then answered Peter and said to him, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt let us make thee here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll get back to that one in a minute. There's old Peter. Remember what I told you years ago when I first came here, preached a message on Peter? I'll recognize him because his mouth is going to be in the shape of his foot. Always sticking his foot in his mouth. I suppose we've all done that, haven't we? But look at verse 5. While yet he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Now let me remind you of a text, Philippians 3:10. Why? That I what? May know him. That's found in the Transfiguration. Our Father spoke 3 times about Jesus in the New Testament. The first one I'm thinking of here is that I may know him. That's the Transfiguration. That's the first time they had ever seen the deity on the outside, on what was on the inside. The second, and that's why these three men, Peter, James, and John, are here at the Transfiguration. And if you take time sometime, Mark 5, verse 37 to 43, all 3 of these fellows was the raising of Jairus' daughter. That was the power of his resurrection. These 3 men not only experience this thought here that I may know him, but the power of his resurrection, they actually saw Jesus. Those 3 men together, and only those 3, a resurrection. And then the fellowship of his suffering. Remember in the garden, those 3 men again, all 3 of them. All 3 there, the fellowship of his what? Suffering, as our Lord was in that. And all 3 of them appeared those 3 times specifically. But I think of the voice they heard. I want you to notice here after our, go back to chapter 17 again. Let's look there in verse 4. Here we see the foolish voice of Peter. I tell you, I keep thinking, Peter, are you ever going to learn? And somehow the Spirit of God says, I was working on him, and I'm working on you, John. I'm working on you. Don't point your finger so strongly at Peter until you first make sure you're not doing some of the same stupid things yourself. And I say that to all of us. And so we find here those careless remarks of Peter. And notice what he said in verse 4. What makes him so careless? Then Peter, verse 4, answered Peter and said to him, Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, thou, let's make 3 tabernacles. We'll make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, and Moses. You know what he was doing? He was putting our Lord on the same level as man. Don't do that. He's God. By the way, he's not the man upstairs. He's God. We have lost a reverence for God like never before in our country and in our churches. May it not be so here. Have reverential respect for God, Jesus Christ, who is God. And so we see here, now let's leave this chapter 17 for a moment, but go over to chapter 9, another passage there dealing with the transfiguration. Look at verse 33. Of chapter 9. It's one of the other. There are 3 references to the Transfiguration. Matthew 17, or 2 references, and Mark 9. And Mark 9, we find over here. in verse 33. It came to pass as the departing from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Would you get these words? Not knowing what he said. Not knowing what he said. I tell you, Peter, you need to get another glimpse of Jesus, who he is. And so we see these remarks, but then we find that wonderful voice from heaven speaking there, going back to Matthew chapter 3. As he said, and I've read this already, but let's go to chapter 17 again and look there in verse 5 again. I've read it. Let's read it again. Well, yet he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud was said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Three times. I've mentioned it three times in Scripture. The Father had something to say, a voice from heaven. The first one was there as he commenced his ministry at his baptism. When he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, This is my beloved, whom I've well pleased. Here we have the climax of his ministry. It is just a short while after that, our Lord is going to die. So it is here as well, the climax of his ministry. And then the last one was just before the cross in John chapter 12, verse 28. He said, My hour is come. He said that, a voice from heaven, This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. I was thinking about all that. You know, are you looking forward to the Lord's coming? If you're not right for God, you're not looking forward to it. Make sure you understand that. You need not only be saved, you need to be right with God. You need to be saved. You need to know Christ as your Savior. You better be ready for His coming. And then I think about as I close, where I not only hear see the foolish things that Peter said, now the Father's voice from heaven, and look there in chapter 17, verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And something else what he said. Look at verse 8. I want you to get these words as we conclude this morning. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Would you get these three words? Save Jesus only. That's what it's all about. It's all about him. All about him, nothing about us. And they were so excited to be there on that mount, Peter, James, and John. They were there to see Moses and Elijah. But there's only Jesus now. It's all about him. It's not about you or about me. We're going to take that vote soon. When you vote, make sure it's all about him. If you vote in the will of God, it's all about him. If you don't, it's all about you. Father, tonight, or this morning, as we close our service, I pray.